handout. So don't read the handout, just put the handout to one side. Because I'm gonna, you know, go off the handout at points. So I don't want you to, sometimes if people are reading things, they get lost in the reading of it and they don't engage in the preaching. So don't get, don't read it now, take it away. And there's notes then that you can have for use afterwards. Now, I'm going to ask you first of all this morning, if you received the following instructions, what would you think? So, don't bother going to church regularly. Hey, my friend. Hey, yes, that's right, you. You can miss Sunday services and just be relaxed about your commitment to those midweek things that are going on in the church. Just be relaxed. Just make church another one of those things you'll try to be involved with if you get the time. Try to have a casual attitude also towards the Bible. Read a couple of verses now and then, but don't commit your life to it. Don't treat it like a manual for life and take it seriously. After all, it's an old book. I mean, can you really trust it? It's very old, isn't it? And regarding prayer, well, God knows that you're busy and you don't really have that much time, do you? You don't have time spare, really, in your daily routine for prayer. You're so busy. It's okay. Just relax. I mean, God understands, you know. He's gracious. God's so gracious with us. So it's okay. And worshiping God is fine, but it's finding the time again. It's just difficult. Now look, just take it easy, will you? And enjoy your Christian life. Spend your time with your hobbies, with your friends. Take the family out. Why don't you take the family out? Enjoy yourself. The children are only young once. Put them first place. When you're older, the Bible will still be there. Church will still be there. Play golf. Or go cycling. Go shopping. Watch those important television shows. Anything but church. Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound like the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or the leading of the flesh? The flesh. Are you sure? Now I want you all to think, I want you to engage with what I've just said. Are you sure that that sounds like the leading of the flesh and not the leading of the Holy Spirit? You sure? Well then why do you follow it? Very quiet this Sunday morning, isn't it? In fact, let me change it and say, why do we follow it? I'll include myself. Make it very clear to everyone. I'm preaching just as much to myself as anyone else in this place. But this week I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit very clear, very strong for us as a church, for us as individuals, certain individuals particularly. See, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. That's what the Word of God says about us as believers. But often that victorious description just doesn't seem to apply to people who attend the church. It just doesn't apply, does it? To so many people who attend the church, are they walking around like victorious conquerors in Jesus? No! Why not? Well, they're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, they're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, they're following the leading of the flesh. Now, there's a biblical word that really fits this. It's called hypocrisy. And what it means is to have a mask on of the face. So Sunday, everything fine, glory to God, how's it going? But, you know, I just like a little bit me. I don't get too fussed on it, you know. I've got other things to do. I'm important business to attend to in other areas. My friends, I want to preach very clear and very straightforward to us this morning. Are you with me? I'm not preaching for the sake of just having a sermon and, you know, someone saying to me afterwards, that was a strong sermon, Pastor, that was good, I'm going to take some. Do you know, I'm really not. I'm interested in what God wants to do in our lives, in your life, in my life. And the only way that that will change is not by a response to the sermon today, but a response to the challenge of God tomorrow morning. And on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and following the timetable that Jesus gives us. Jesus says to us this day, every day, he said, we'll have trouble of its own. And the rhythm of life that Jesus gives us is a daily rhythm of life. And that's why, you know, making this a commitment for each day is vital. It's not just a response today, it's a response every day of our lives forevermore. It says this, you know, as I observe the people in the church, I observe the church and I think, well, you know, people don't live like conquerors. People get conquered by so many things. They're not living victorious. They're being suppressed and living in defeat. If it's not this thing, it's this thing, and this thing, and this thing. That's not the Christian life. People are deluded into thinking that's the Christian. It's not the Christian life. So I have to ask, well, who are you following? Are you following the spirit of the flesh or the Holy Spirit? Because if we're following the Holy Spirit, there's the victory in life for us, the scriptures teach. It's a promise from the scripture. And people try, you know, they put up a fight. They try and again, and they fail, and they try again, and then they wake up one day, they say, never again, smoking's not going to get me, I'm not going to smoke, or whatever it is, I'm not going to lose my temper in that way anymore, or whatever the problem is in life. Say, never again, I'm not going to be that person, I make a promise. And they're okay for a little short piece of time, and then they fail. And that's the rhythm of life that they have. It's a cycle of defeat. But we've been called to have a cycle of victory. We've been called to be light into this world, to be the salt of the earth, to live from victory unto victory, to have the walk of faith. I walk by faith. A faith walk is a victorious walk. That's what we've been called to. So why is this? Believers everywhere caught right now in that defeat. Every time they take a fresh stand against the enemy, he just knocks them down flat. But my brothers and sisters, it's not meant to be that way. We are called to live as more than conquerors, to fight the good fight of faith as winners in this life. And the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit ensures us that victory. And the question is, are we prepared to yield now to the leading of the Holy Spirit for our lives? Are you with me this morning? About three people are. Any more, please. You know? The Holy Spirit leads us to confess the Word of God as we walk in faith. He leads believers in prayer, in direction in life, in worship, in the Word of God, and in all the other things for believers' lives. Let's look at our confession of the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We need to hold on to that confession, even when it might look in the natural as if things are not going to work out, when it seems as if there's no hope. We need to hold on to that confession. But in order to hold on to that confession, and there are plenty of them in the scriptures, we're going to look at a few, what we need to do is have trust in our words. So in order to hold to a confession of faith, we've got to believe in the words that we speak. Now this is a problem for people. People are used to speaking any old nonsense. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's called us to speak out of this mouth, the truths of our confession, so that our words should be powerful. The Bible is filled, Old Testament and New Testament, with examples of how we should be speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Now, last week in this church, I heard a man tell someone else that he'd been speaking to God about him. And the man said, really? What did he say? And the man answered to him, who's that? In other words, it was a joke, supposedly, and God didn't know that man who he was speaking to. Awful. Right here in a church. Brothers and sisters, we need to watch this. How can I say it? There are times when we need to keep this shut. And if we are going to speak, then speak encouraging words. A little joke now and then, we can have jokes. We can have humor. God is a God of humor. I like Jesse Duplantis. You know Jesse Duplantis? He speaks, it's very funny at times, you know. So I'm not against humor, but I am against anything that will bring someone down, that would put a negative thing onto someone, that would bring your own confession of faith down. So often, what happens is we try to believe the word, but we negate the word because of our own confession. So you have people who think, you know, that they can just speak any old thing out and that's okay, because they haven't understood the purpose of speaking. You know, if you want to find in the scriptures the purpose of something, you go to its original initial introduction in the word. So for example, with speaking, what we find is in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, 3, let there be light. God spoke
Let there be light. And he spoke creative words out. God spoke creative words. That's what happened. And he spoke those words, let there be light, and there was light. The purpose of speaking isn't just communicating to one another. In fact, the initial purpose of speaking, the most powerful part of speaking, is to create. Because if you think of a conversation, for example, let's pretend Peter here is a builder. Let's pretend I have a project. I want something built. I have a communication with you. We speak about it. I describe it in words. You go ahead and you do it. You know, what's happened is we've spoken, and that thing now is being built. There's a creative end to it. But in the scripture, in Genesis, it's a supernatural thing that happens. God said, let there be light. Well, now some people say, well, that couldn't be for us, obviously. That's Genesis. That's God in the Old Testament. Well, no, my friends. Come with me into the New Testament. And let's read from the book of Mark, chapter 11, for an example. There are many places we could go, but let's go to Mark 11. In verse 23, Jesus says, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, notice what it says, but believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So we have an example of the purpose of words in Genesis. We see Jesus now, the one who is our Lord, the one who we are following. Are we following Jesus? Is he really our Lord? Brothers and sisters, answer me strongly. Is he your Lord this morning? Yes. He is your Lord. Well, then are you going to do what he says? Well, then we better do what he says right here. Am I right? Let's read it out again with that intent. Mark 11, 23. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, there needs to be faith there, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. In other words, there is creative power in the tongue. Jesus says it. Now, we're not getting silly. I'm not talking metaphysics here. You know, we're not getting silly. We're talking about Bible faith. We're talking about the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. If there's a mountain in the way, we are meant to speak to it. But I'll tell you this. If your words the rest of the week are sloppy, if your words to one another are sloppy, there'll be no power in this word. You have to believe your own words before you can ever pretend to believe the word. And I probably have had to, this is one of the big battles that we face. But for me, you know, my mind is sometimes a comical mind. So I think, I get things quick. And I'm thinking sometimes, and I see a funny thing, and I think, shall I say it? I get a laugh out of it, I know, but I don't. Because if I were to say it and get a laugh out of it, I might undermine someone, I might discourage someone, and it'll be a very funny thing, but I'm not going to say it. Because I've got to be disciplined and know that getting a joke from people isn't the most important thing in my life. Because people are going through circumstances and difficulties, and sometimes I need to just build them up and not make that a focus. And I have to watch your mouth. You know, people pretend in church, men especially. I'm going to tell you, men, okay? Listen, don't try and impress one another. And women are the same, but it's slightly different with men. Men find it more difficult, generally speaking, to open up to one another. So what they do is there's a bravado and a bit of, you know, we don't need that. The scripture, listen, let's not be insecure. Let's have a different culture in this church. Let's have a culture in this church that's absolutely different to the culture out there. Let's have a culture that's biblical, that we want to encourage one another and uplift one another and speak life-building words to one another. You know, I think you can. I believe in you. I just support one another. Do you know, when we speak to people, I speak to people, and I'm so aware that they haven't had anyone really encouraging them in the days, and their lives are filled with discouraging words. Maybe they've been victims of that in their lives. They've had lots of discouragement. Lots of discouragement. Listen. Let's change it then. Let's be the ones who change that. Let's stop that and let's say, no, we're not going to be this. We're going to be life-giving. We're going to speak words of life into people. We're going to build people up. And we're going to see the promises of the Bible manifest in and through our lives. My friends, this is powerful. We've seen so many things, you know. I'll tell you, we bought a house. One of the things that we did, there's a lovely golf development back home, and we had purchased one of the big houses overlooking the golf course. It was a beautiful lake. It overlooked a beautiful lake. And the living room was one of those nice living rooms with a balcony that goes out, and it overlooks the golf course and the estuary. It was a very lovely view. So we purchased that house, and the builders were really late in building it, and we already had a house on that golf development, but we purchased this other one because it was just so lovely and it was bigger, and the builders were late, and they were just putting it back and putting it back and putting it back. But by the time they'd finished the build, we were now moving from South Wales. I'd sold the business, and we had responded to the call to go into the ministry. But it was 2008, and guess what happened? New, especially expensive houses weren't being sold in 2008. They hadn't sold one because the crash had come. And the price that we had paid for it had now plummeted. So you were stuck. But we had loads of money tied up in that thing. And now we wanted to move. So what do you do? Well, I'm just telling you this because I'm showing you a practical application of what I'm speaking about. Look, I want you all to know clearly, I'm not talking from theory. If we had a few hours, I could spend hours in testimonies of the things that have happened. We don't, so I'm just sharing this one. What we decided to do was go out and pray. We go for prayer walks and we pray, and we would call in the purchasers. But the living room in that property was a very nice big living room, and we were going to have worship times there and church times there. So we weren't just calling any purchaser in. We were calling a purchaser in that was a Christian that would use that place for a place of prayer and Christian worship. So that narrows it down even more. Well, brothers and sisters, we went out and this is how we would pray. We'd walk around that area in the evenings and we would say, thank you, Heavenly Father. We were declaring what we wanted. We were speaking what we wanted, not what we had. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the purchaser coming in for this property. We thank you, Lord, that purchaser is there. We call that purchaser in now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that they'll be having prayer meetings there. We thank you, Father God, that that place will be used for that which you intended it to be used for us. We thank you, Father God, and we just worship you now. Oh, thank you, Lord, that they're coming in. Thank you, Lord. Now, there was no way that we had to go right against reason and rationale and everything that was in the natural. Nothing in the natural was saying that there could be anyone who was prepared to pay their same price for that property, because that property had now dropped in price because we'd had the crash of 2008. It was impossible. They hadn't sold one property. No one was selling properties. But we didn't allow the circumstances to get in the way of our faith confession. Are you with me? Are you interested, people? So, what we did, we went around, we did it night after night after night. And there was no straightaway phone call. But we weren't going to be swayed. And we weren't going to be moved off our confession. So we just continued. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord. We thank you that they're coming in. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we can see them now coming in. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. Wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. Calling those things which aren't as though they were, the Bible teaches. We were calling those things which aren't as though they were. We were aware of the potential in our words. Well, you know what happened. Sure enough, a couple came in. They purchased the house, and they were Christians. And they were going to have meetings of prayer in that room. Well, we were going to have meetings of prayer. It was entirely miraculous. And that helped us as we made the journey up to the Northwest to pastor Living Faith Church. It's a tremendous testimony. And as I look back on life, I see this over and over and over again. But you see, friends, we see this so often, don't we, in the scriptures. You know, In the book of James, it says, James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And in Proverbs 18:21, we read, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's fruit of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Think of it. There's fruit of the tongue. In other words, when I speak something out, I sow a seed. I speak something out, I've sown a seed. I speak an encouraging word to someone, it stays there. It's an encouragement in their heart. Mark 4 says it like this. The word is sown in the human heart. And the enemy, immediately it's sown in the heart, he comes to try to steal it. But it's sown. How is it sown? Through the foolishness of preaching. Or what the world would think was the foolishness of preaching. It's through the preaching that it's sown in the human heart. And when we speak with one another and we speak words, those are sowing seeds into the heart. Now thereafter, we've got a choice to make. Am I going to believe those words or not? If I believe them, let my confession be in line with my belief. Some people have said to me, I can't do this, I can't. There's no way I could do it. They're absolutely right. They can't do it. And they're not going to do it. Because they've confessed they're not going to do it. It's impossible for us. Yeah, that's right. You'll never do it. And it's impossible for you. Because that's your confession. But if you're prepared to be someone who aligns with the word and say, all things are possible. My confession is going to be all things are possible for me. Because I believe in Jesus. I believe in the supernatural power and the ability of Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Lord. He lives inside of me. He rules me, and I'm a disciple of his. Amen. I listen to his words. I take his words in, and his words are birthed out of me. I abide in his word. He abides in me. And so I'm going to be disciplined in my life, and I will speak words of faith. And I will live a life of faith. And I will receive from what I've spoken out. There's no question, there's no debate. That's the truth. I've seen it come to pass over and over and over again. My friends, I'm not talking theory or opinion with you this morning. I'm talking the truth. This is the truth. It's the gospel truth. In Proverbs 6:2, it says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." You can be snared with your own words. I'm no good at this. I can't do it. I'm just useless. I just can't. Well, if you want to confess that, go ahead. And you're ensnared with a trap that you set up for yourself. That's self-pity and self, you know, and it's that type of thing. And we've got to resist it. And we've got to resist the flesh, be led by the Holy Spirit, and speak that which we're not necessarily feeling. We don't go by feelings. You see, you may feel that way. We all feel that way from time to time. I have felt that way. But I'm going to speak in line with his way and not my feelings way. Amen. And there's power in that. And I believe that as a church, when we align ourselves with that, then we're hitting on something that will birth tremendous things in and through our lives. I close with this. The leading of the Holy Spirit means that we will yield to the Word of God. So that if we're led by the flesh, we're led by our feelings and our emotions. Some people are feelings and emotions led. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit, you have to study the Word of God, read the Word of God, and yield to the Word of God. And that comes through an act of discipline and the will. It doesn't take too long to read the New Testament, you know. I hope, and I would want to encourage everyone to be reading the New Testament. Read a book a day. You read a book a day. Doesn't take long to read a book in the New Testament. Doesn't take long at all. Reading it with a study. It transforms our thinking. It shapes the way we think. It turns weaklings into people who have strength for victory in life, to achieve all that God has called us to achieve. My friends, did you know this? Out there, they need us in here to be people of that book. And when we're people of that book, and we live in the reality of that book, and our confession is in line with that book, they look at us and say, "Wow, they're different. I like that." And they respond. And life is changed. We've been called to have a great witness. And it starts with us yielding in this way. So, yielding to the Word of God and saying, "I'm going to live by the Word of God. I'm going to spend my days." Now watch this. Please listen as we close. "I'm going to spend my days in the Word, studying the Word. What the Word says, I will confess. What the Word says, I will believe. When it goes right against what my own thinking is, my own understanding, my own flesh, I'm going to refuse my own understanding, my own flesh, and I'm going to yield instead to this. I'm going to take this in. I'm going to yield to this. And this is going to make a path for me that no man can alter or change or impact against. This makes the path for my life. It's a path of victory and power. But in order to do that, it's got to be daily study of the word. Daily. And it's got to be a disciplined study. Reading that book of the scriptures. Taking it in. Taking those confessions. Don't just read those confessions in a light way. Don't read them as in, oh, well, I'll read this, I'll try this for a good. No, take them and say, no, these are scriptures, and therefore it applies to my life. And read it in that way and see what God will do. God has got great plans for you. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. His plan is for you today. Amen?
Amen.
And who knows what God can do. I saw that man, you know, there's a TV show in Britain. And I forget what it's called. Britain's Got Talent, I think. And there was a man that I think he was 89 years old. And he entered the contest. And he won the entire contest at 89. Most of us are younger than 89. If not all of us, possibly. My point is this. Listen, if that can happen in the natural, what could God do in the supernatural?
Amen.
Amen. So don't think that you're old. Oh no, you're not old. You're not old enough that God can't use you. God can use you, all right, and God is willing to use you. The question is, are you willing to let him? We let him when we let his word in. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, let's just stand together. Let's make a confession at the end of this service together. Let's close our eyes and make this confession. Heavenly Father, did you speak it out after me? Heavenly Father,
I
believe the word of God.
I confess the word of God.
I believe you called me for victory.
You
shaped me for success. That my life will be a testimony of the reality of Jesus Christ and the truth of his gospel. I give myself to this. Help me. Fill me, Holy Spirit, that my life will point to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Let's keep our eyes closed. Father, I thank you for each one here. Listen, my friend, if God has spoken to you this morning and you want to respond to him now, you just respond. Put your hand up. Say, Lord, the sermon this morning is for me. I'm going to start studying this in a way that my life is going to be reshaped by the word of God. Listen, you're responding to God this morning. You're not responding to anyone else. No one looking around. No one concerning themselves with anything else. If that's for you, you just put your hand up and respond to God this morning. He wants people to respond to him this morning. I see hands lifted. I see hands. That's good. That's really good. You lift your hands and respond, and I'm lifting mine, and I'm responding. I thank you, Heavenly Father. We're responding before you. Heavenly Father, you see us responding to you this morning. We ask this. Have then, Lord, your way, that this Living Faith Church will be a place of rescue to many people. And that us, as the ministers of the gospel who are members of this church, will do what you've called us to do and be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' holy, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'll be at the front if anyone's praying.